Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman. The coming of the Lord is indeed sooner than you think, and that will become clearer and clearer as we go into these lessons. Now, this is the sixth time that The Watchman is airing, and the sixth of so many times. So I'm just glad, thankful for my partners who have stood with me to make this possible. In so many ways, there are people who are out there who have contributed financially for this and who are praying for it every day. So I just want to thank God for them, because they are such a wonderful, wonderful partnership. Thank you so much. Now, today we're talking about quite a number of things. There are events that the Bible speaks of that are definitely going to come to pass. You've heard of the tribulation, you know, those things, the rapture, and so many arguments. Is it pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, trib meaning tribulation, and quite a number of things there, which, quite frankly, we're going to explore through Scripture. So many Scriptures that we're going to look at to kind of make them fit in perfectly, and we see what time we are living in and how soon we can expect the coming of the Lord. Remember, the Lord expected us to know His coming. Nobody spoke more about the second coming of Jesus more than Jesus Christ Himself. So the fact that He did clearly shows that He intends for us to know. He doesn't want us to live in darkness. Actually, the Bible says as much. Paul says to the Thessalonians, you are not in darkness, that this day should overtake you. In the darkness, that should find you in darkness. You are of the light, and you are supposed to know when we are coming there. Now, that is the purpose of the watchman. Now, we have some of the books that, you know, we kind of get a lot of scriptures from for this end times, what they call revelational books in the Bible. Some people call them apocalyptic books. I'm not so sure about apocalypse, because that sounds like something scary. But quite frankly, there's nothing scary about the coming of Jesus. It's something that we should celebrate. But those books are Revelation, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Zechariah. Those are the books that especially, of course, plus the Gospels. Jesus spoke a lot about His coming. Matthew and Luke especially. John hardly speaks about it, because John's purpose was different from the rest. John wrote to reveal the godly nature of Christ, show Him both as God and as man. Now, these other ones, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have their similarities. But especially Matthew, from 24, especially chapter 24, speaks a lot about the coming of the Lord. And it starts at the Mount of Olives, when the disciples were coming out and looked at the temple, the wonderful temple, and we're marveling at how beautiful it was. And Jesus started speaking about the end time, starting by telling them a time is coming when not a single stone that is on the temple will be standing on the other. I've told you how that came to pass, and I told you how the temple is going to be rebuilt, but we're going to talk about that a bit more in detail. The book of Revelation can be divided into about five different categories. The first one is the church, largely the first chapter speaking about the seven churches of Revelation. Then the next one are the seals that are going to be blown. We're going to study all this. We're going to study the book of Revelation. And quite frankly, even if it has been confusing to you, I would strongly suggest that you go and read it. If you do not understand it, that's okay. You will when you listen to this program. Now, just go and read, so that when we speak about something, at least you have an understanding of it in the Bible. Not an understanding, really, that a knowledge of it, so that all we provide is an understanding thereof. Because very few people actually get down to read the book of Revelation, largely because they don't understand it. Now, I'm telling you, if you can just do the watchman, if you ever go and read the book, and then we shall go through it, and you'll understand exactly what those things mean and how they have been fulfilled in this our day. almost all of them, with just a few left before the coming of the Lord, then we shall have a clear picture of where we stand in as far as the end of the age is concerned. So I was saying Revelation divided into the church, the seven churches of Revelation, they are called, into the seals, which are the seven trumpets, then the vials, which are the punishments. Then after that, it's divided into worship in heaven, but also reward for the saints, and also judgment for those who did not believe in Christ. That is the great white throne judgment. He talks about the millennium and things like that, things that we are going to speak about in detail until you understand how they are going to occur. And that lesson starts today. Actually, the previous six lessons have been about introduction to end times. We've just been doing basically rubbing off the surface now and establishing the historical accuracy of the Bible in terms of what it predicted and how it came to pass, so that you know that what hasn't come to pass is definitely going to come to pass. There is no chance that it will not. It will, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, it will come to pass. Okay, now the main arguments surrounding the rapture are based on that's a seven-year period called that theologians call the tribulation. The first 3.5 years are called the tribulation. The next 3.5 years are called the great tribulation. Altogether, they are called tribulation theologically, not necessarily biblically. Okay, and when do we expect the tribulation? When does it occur? Now, there are 16 events recorded in the Bible that must come to pass shortly. Of course, there is a big controversy of what order they will come to pass, but they will come to pass. Now, the Bible says, first of all, there will be a great falling away of the church. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "Let no one deceive or beguile you in any way." I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. "For that day will not come except the apostasy comes first." Apostasy, and unless the predicted falling away of those who have professed to be Christians has come, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, or the man of sin, who is the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and insolently against all that is called God or that is worshipped, even to his actually taking God's seat in the temple, proclaiming that he is God. Now that what it is talking about in the second part, in verse 4, is what they call the abomination of desolation. But what I'm more interested in is the first part of this, the great falling away. Paul said that people who profess to be Christians, a Christian church, the great falling away of the church, of the Christian church, will happen. And then people who once professed to have the truth, or who once more or less alleged to have the truth and called themselves Christians, will fall away, and there will be a great division between those who are really Christians and those who are, well, more or less, I mean, those who are following a systematic Christianity, which is based somewhere in a city in Rome and something. There will be a great falling away, and that is predicted before the man of sin is revealed, who is the Antichrist. Now, that great falling away is largely, I mean, ongoing right now. I think it has actually happened, because you know how so many things have changed since quite a number of things have changed since the papacy changed hands. Okay, now you have a pope who says who tells unbelievers that it's okay if you don't believe in Christ, we'll all meet in heaven as long as you're a good person. Now, that is as much a lie as any I've ever heard, because there is nobody who is a good person except those who believe in Jesus Christ, and they are good when they believe in Jesus and they take on the goodness that Jesus had as a result of their faith in him. Now, the whole thing, they ask him, what do you think about homosexuals? And he says, who am I to judge them? I mean, nobody is judging homosexuals. The Bible judges them. It's so clear in Romans chapter 1. So nobody is judging them. The Bible judges them, and the Bible is the word of God. So and all that, you know, a kind of Christianity that is not based on sound biblical doctrine, that is the great falling away that has been predicted. And we are going to go a bit into that later, but it is complete false. You know, atheists just be good people and we'll all meet in heaven. Excuse me, there's not going to be any heaven for somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, pure and simple. There is going to be hell for such a person. But there doesn't have to be, because Jesus Christ and the grace that is his is still available for everybody. If you believe in him and take on the righteousness that was his, then the sin that was yours is accounted unto the judgment that you received 2,000 years ago. And you receive his righteousness in place of that, and therefore you become a citizen of heaven. Any other way, you are a citizen of hell. There is no in between. There is no intermediary place between heaven and hell. Of course, there are teachings to that nature, but it is all based on pure lies. That's an apostasy, okay, that the Bible talks about. Now it says the day of the Lord will not come, or the rapture will not come, until this falling away has happened. So now we know that it has happened. Then it goes on to say, down, that's the first thing predicted before the rapture. Then it says, then the man of sin is revealed. The man of sin here is the devil. Okay? Now, how is he going to be revealed? When you read in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, it says that he, talking about the Antichrist, okay? I will not give you the context, but just take it for me. It is talking about the Antichrist. I will not give you the context because it's a lot longer than that. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. I told you Daniel talks, provides days as years. So it says 1 week, which is 7 days, it means 7 years, okay? And shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But then it says, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering that is in the temple. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined, which is poured out on the desolate. Basically what it means that there will be an agreement signed. Now, what that means is that the Antichrist will confirm a covenant. Which covenant is he confirming? What you read in Genesis chapter 13, God told Abraham that stand afterward Lot had left him. 13:14, well, one of those two chapters, that look to the left, to the right, and, you know, north, south, and all the land that you see I have given to you and your descendants forever. Now, that has always been in question. Israel's right to exist in that place has always been questioned by quite a number of people. We know that they were not there for a period of close to 1,900 years, between 70 AD and 1917, okay? And eventually in 1948 when they had a nation established there. But their right to exist up to now has not yet been confirmed by the states surrounding them, by so many countries, by the way. So many countries say that Israel do not have the right to exist within that place which they call Palestine, which was previously called Palestine. Now, what the Antichrist will do, and yet God gave them a covenant that he is going to give Abraham's physical descendants, that is the Jews, that place forever. Now, what the Antichrist will do is he will confirm their right to exist in that place in an agreement, which is going to be an interim agreement for 7 years. Why is it interim? Because neither side can agree permanently to a deal. Okay, now right now there are big efforts to hammer out a deal between the Palestinians and as well as all the Arabs and then the Jews. Okay, the Palestinians say they do not recognize Israel, nothing new there, but the Palestinians want a state and they want East Jerusalem as the capital. Now, Jerusalem is not going to be divided again, the Bible says, okay? Because it is going to be under the control of the Jews at the Battle of Armageddon, which is going to be the last battle before the third coming of the Lord, so to speak, and before the millennium. Now, what that means is that Israel is going to have to give up the West Bank or Judea. Okay, Judea and Samaria, which is the West Bank, and give it to the Palestinian state, which is going to happen. And of course, all these things have already been suggested. And when they give up that area, then these people will agree to leave Jerusalem under the control of the Jews for only 7 years in an interim agreement. But they will also agree to share what they call the Temple Mount. I told you the Temple Mount is a few acres of land that are the cause of the biggest controversy on planet Earth. Why? Because it is a very important spiritually, in terms of that is the place where the temple has to be built. The temple, Jesus Christ will not come until that temple is built. The other coming will not come until that temple is built. And by the even the second coming will not be until that temple is built. And so the temple has to be built in that place where Solomon's temple was built there. And it is a very crucial place because that's where Abraham met Melchizedek and gave him a tenth of his loot. That's where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, on that mount. So historically and spiritually it is so significant. That's why it is the cause of all these battles. Now of course you as a Christian, you should know that all the battles on earth have a source in the spiritual world. It's not just, people don't just fight. What's so special about those 52 acres on the Temple Mount? If it did not have spiritual significance, they wouldn't be important. I mean, why would the Jews be fighting for it, and the Muslims too? Now what is going to happen is that they will agree that they share the Temple Mount. And the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is the so-called third holiest site in Islam, will be retained on the one side, but they will leave another side for the Jews to build a temple where Solomon's temple actually was. Okay, and now it will be under some kind of shared agreement and overseen by the United Nations, and it will be a seven-year agreement. Now the person who comes and supervises over that seven-year agreement, the Bible clearly says, will be the Antichrist. That will be the revealing of the Antichrist, because it says he shall confirm a covenant. That covenant which God gave Abraham has never been confirmed throughout history, from the Philistines to the Hittites. Everybody disputed Israel's right to be there. Now for the first time it is going to be confirmed that they have a right to be there, only for 7 years. Now the person who does that, the person who supervises over it, will be the, of course, there will be the Antichrist. Now there have been so many arrangements, attempts by numerous presidents and so on to do it. I remember in the year 2000 there was Bill Clinton mediated between Yasser Arafat and Ehud Barak, and they agreed on everything. Okay, everything that the Jews wanted they got, everything that the Arabs wanted they got, except those 32, sorry if I said 52 earlier, except those 32 acres of the Temple Mount, because the Arabs say, as I said, Al-Aqsa Mosque is their third holiest site after Mecca and Medina, but for the Jews that's their first holiest site. So the Arabs can't give it up, the Jews can't give it up, so somehow that is the one thing over which they don't seem to agree. Now if they agreed over that, the rest would be simple. Now the person who hammers out that agreement will actually be the Antichrist. Now when that agreement is signed, the final 7 years of human government before the millennium, the final 7 years of human government will have started at the signing of that agreement. Okay, now then it's those 7 years are divided into two. The first 3.5 years will not, the Antichrist will have been revealed to those people who know, like you who are listening to this program, but he will not be completely in charge of the world. He will not be the world leader with all the authority that he will eventually turn out to be. Why? Because the church will still be here. Okay? But it says, but in that period of 7 years is called the tribulation. Okay? And I want to tell you, we are really close to it. You have no idea. Because the Americans are saying they're expecting an agreement by May 2014. That is 2 months from now. Whether or not it happens is a different issue, but that's what they are claiming. They first said, they said at the end of last year that they expected an agreement by spring of 2014, which was the April 2014. But then somehow I think there have been all sorts of issues. Now Israel is under a lot of pressure to sign to an agreement by May. Now if that agreement is signed, then if it is signed, I am not saying it is going to be signed in May, but if it is at any one time, then that is the final 7 years of human government. Now, when I tell you that we are closer than you think, don't think I'm bluffing you. All this is in the Bible. And I've showed you all the way how all Bible prophecies, every single one of them come to pass. If one does not come to pass, I told you before, the reason there is a lot of fight for Jerusalem and everything is because the devil knows if one prophecy made in the Bible does not come to pass, then God loses his moral authority to judge the devil. Then the devil doesn't have to spend eternity in hell. So we know all that is not going to happen. So we know the prophecies have to come to pass. Okay? Now, it says, now that 7 years. Now, but in the middle of the week of the 7 years, he shall bring an end to the offering. Now, here is what's going to happen. In the first 3.5 years, the Jews are going to build the temple. They have everything that they need. They have from the craftsmen to all the articles they are going to use in the worship, to restore the worship as it was back then. The outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies, everything has been prepared to be built. The only thing they are lacking is that agreement that is going to give them that piece of land where Solomon's temple was built. And as soon as they have it, they will build that temple within a matter of weeks, because they have everything that it needs and they have great technology. And remember, by the way, the Jews built the Bugorobi flats, and it was taking them a matter of weeks to complete one flat. And that was 1972 technology. Imagine how quicker they can do. So it is going to be done immediately. And when the temple is built, then there will be sacrifices restored. They will start sacrificing as it was before, getting goats, sheep, and all those things, especially those Orthodox Jews going to the temple to offer up for their sins to be forgiven. Now, the way they did it back then, and if they did the same right now, it would cause an uproar from so many people, because they get the animals and basically more or less burn them alive. Now, of course, that is going to cause a lot of, you know, confusion among animal rights activists who say, because they have been complaining before, animals also have rights and things like that. How can, I mean, they have a right to be killed, you know, decently, whatever that means, and so on. So they will say what these people are doing is wrong, and there will be such an uproar against the way the Jews are doing their sacrifices. Now, after 3.5 weeks, the Antichrist, who will now have become some sort of world leader, after 3.5 years, the Antichrist will go and stand in the temple and say, look, you people, you do not have to go carry on offering animals like this. He'll probably say something along the lines of, everybody is looking for some sort of Messiah. The Christians are looking for the second coming. The Muslims are looking for the fifth Mahdi, who is going to apparently turn the whole world into Islam and kill everybody who doesn't accept. The Buddhists are looking for the fifth Buddha, and so on and so forth. So he will stand and say, how about we just do this? I'm that person you're looking for. So he will declare that he's God. You do not have to worship any other god. Has that happened before? Yes, it has. Where did it happen? In the book of Daniel. You see, the book of Daniel is a picture of everything that we expect in the end times. It's a complete picture of everything, because you see that Nebuchadnezzar makes an image of himself. I mean, makes a huge image, which is 60 cubits, you know, tall and 6 cubits wide, and which has to... which people worship when they play 6 kinds of instruments. Does that ring a bell? 66, 6. You see those sixes. And so he erects that instrument and says, this is the God. This is the only person you're supposed to worship in the days of Daniel and the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, that was a picture of what you expect in the end. People, I told you last time that everything is moving towards human worship, okay? You had Barack Obama saying we are looking for a faith in fellow human beings. Now, what they are looking for is not a faith in fellow human beings, but a faith in one human being who will be the Antichrist. And that's what they are looking out for, where they take God out of the picture. Man is the God you... I mean, there is no other God. And then they get one man who everybody worships, like it was in the days of Daniel. Then remember also, later on, Darius, they come and tell him that you declare that nobody should worship any other god apart from you, and he falls for it. Why? Because there was a tendency towards deifying human beings as God. Now, that is a tendency that is already at play right now, like I told you back then, from all those people who are talking new age, new world order, and what, claiming that they are God. This is all a tendency leading towards that, until one man will stand up and say that he is God. Now, that is at the end of 3.5 3.5 years. And then now that will begin the final 3.5 years, which is called the Great Tribulation. Now that is going to be a time unlike any other, because by the final 3.5 years, the church will be out of the way. The rapture will have happened, okay? And we are going to discuss this from the Bible. I am not guessing. All this is in Scripture. I have a Scripture for every single thing that I'm telling you about, okay? Now, the rapture will have happened. Now, the Antichrist will be officially in charge. Then God's judgment on earth will be unleashed. That's what they call, that's the vials, eh? The vials or the horrors that are in the book of Revelation, which we are going to look at. Okay, now that's the 7 years of the tribulation. That's how they are going to be broken up. Now, the first 3.5 years will have a lot of persecution for Christians. Persecution in ways which are a bit subtle, in which if you're a believing Christian, you're made out to look like you don't know what you're talking about, you're ancient. You've had all these people in the media supporting homosexuality, saying that those who don't support it are not exposed, creating the impression that everybody who has gone abroad supports it, which quite frankly is very regrettable and lamentable. And all those things, trying to make it look like modernity, yeah? You know, it's modern to support these things, and it is ancient not to support them, and something there, and I mean there and there thereabout. So they make it look like so there will be that sort of persecution, but there will also be a lot more persecution, in that you have to, there are laws which are anti that have to be obeyed, and things like that. So in the final 3.5 years, however, the church will also be very strong. Okay, now here is the good part. The good part is that the church at the time will be very strong, but also very prosperous. The final church will be prosperous. Jesus is not coming to rapture a defeated church. It is definitely going to be very powerful spiritually, in spiritual authority. Okay, the way Daniel was, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they stand up to the king and tell him, "We don't care what your laws are. We are going to follow the laws of our God." And when the king tries to challenge them, the authority of God supersedes that of the king. That is the sort of Christian that we are going to have in this final 3.5 years, which, by the way, we are getting very close to. Sorry, the first 3.5 years of the 7 year tribulation period. Now, but still, there will be a lot of evil. That is the time that I spoke about when I said that lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. That's the time when everybody who has been an imposter as a Christian, Jesus' parable of the wheat and the tares, when he said that leave the wheat grow with the tares, we shall separate them at the end. Actually, tares and wheat cannot be told apart when they are young. There is no way you can separate a wheat and a tare when they are young. Now, people who have been posing as Christians, and some of them in leadership, but actually their hearts are elsewhere, it is going to be so clear at that time, there will be a great separation, okay, between those who are real and those who are counterfeit. And those who are real will be so strong in the Lord. And those who are counterfeit will join the world and be very strong in evil. Okay? There is going to be a clear division between good and evil. Right now, you see a bit, you know, there is a thin line, there is a bit of a confusion. You don't know who is who and who is where. Now, of course, there are people who have kind of gotten into this worldliness and everything. But I'm telling you, soon, real soon, there is going to be a dividing, and it's going to be slow. If you are caught the other side of the divide, then you're in serious trouble. You had better be caught the God side, because that is the side that is going to be raptured, and that is the side that will win at the end.
Ah!
We are talking about the 16 events that the Bible predicts are going to happen shortly. And now, after that, the fullness of the Gentiles has to come in. The fullness of the Gentiles who are to believe has to come in. The Bible says that at the end, Israel will be saved. Earthly Israel will be saved. But before that, the fullness of the Gentiles has to come in. And when you read Romans 11, verse 25 to 27, Paul writes and says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved," okay, "as it is written." And he goes on to quote a scripture: "The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away godliness from Jacob," godliness from Israel, that is from the earthly children of Jacob. "For this is my covenant with them, when I will take away their sins." So the fullness of the Gentiles has to come in before Israel is saved. Now, after that, the fifth event that will happen. Now, I'm speaking these events in the chronology in which I believe they will happen. Of course, there are different texts on all these theological arguments and everything. But from the scripture that I have, I am entirely convinced that this is the chronology in which these events will take place. Then, now there is the sixth trumpet. Now, the sixth trumpet creates what is called the Day of the Lord. Now, the Day of the Lord is spoken of. The Day of the Lord is different from the rapture, okay? But it will happen almost in a very close period of time. However, it is a different event, and it is it's prophesied all across the Bible. Matthew 24 and verse 29 says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened." Remember, the first 3.5 years is called the tribulation. The second is called the great tribulation. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken." Now, just remember that, what it says: the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Now, exactly the same things are spoken of when the sixth trumpet is blown into Revelation. It says, "I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold," seals and trumpets are different, of course, then there are vials also. "He opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake." That's Revelation 6:12. "The sun became black as sackcloth on hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell as a fig tree drops its leaves when it is shaken by the wind." Then now this is exactly what Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24:29. Go and look at those scriptures, Matthew 24:29, and the description thereof is the same, because Matthew 24, it says, "The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken." Now, Revelation 6:12, it says that, "And the sun became black," that means it doesn't give off its light, "as sackcloth." Of course, the wording is different. "And the moon became like blood," okay? There it says the moon does not give off its light. And then it says, "The stars of heaven fell to earth," which is precisely what it says the other side. And it says, "As a fig tree drops its leaves when it is shaken." Now, in Matthew, it says the powers of the heaven will be shaken. So, he's talking about the same event. Then it says, "Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves, in the rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" Now here is what happens. The day of the wrath of God comes at the removal of the church. Okay? Remember, the church are ambassadors. Paul says we are ambassadors of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19. We are ambassadors of Christ. Okay, now there is no country that declares war on another country unless it has removed its ambassador. The first step, if Uganda was to declare war on Kenya, the first step that would happen would Uganda would call back the ambassador from Nairobi. Now, when the ambassadors of Christ, who is the church, is taken out of the way, then the punishment, God's punishment on earth, starts officially. Now, this is the wrath that they're talking about. The day of the Lord has come. And who is able to stand before him and hide us? People saying that people will be telling the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. Now, that day cannot happen when the church is still on earth, because when the church is on earth, there is no wrath, okay? There is grace. Now, Joel chapter 2 also speaks about the day of the Lord. And it says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness. The same words, remember, and the moon into blood. Same words in Revelation, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now, I'm telling you, what is the day of the Lord? Let's first look at all the scriptures that speak of the day of the Lord. Then I will tell you what it is like and what it is going to be like and when exactly it occurs. And maybe that will be the last thing I tell you today. And you'll have to wait until next Wednesday for the most interesting part of all of this. That is the rapture. When does it happen? When do we expect it? Now, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9 and 10 says, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger. Remember, these are the same words, wrath, anger. The sun turned into darkness and the moon into blood and the powers of heaven shaken. Now here in Isaiah it says, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. Same words. Now even Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, speaks of the same thing, the day of the Lord. What does he say? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Hebrews also speaks of the day of the Lord. What does it say? Chapter 1 verse 10 to 12. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain, and they will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail. Now here is what happens, combining all these scriptures. Let me simplify it for you. This is what happens when the day of the Lord comes. The sun will not give forth its light. There will be darkness, then the moon, and over a short period of time, then the Bible says that the sky will recede, okay, will just like almost the way you can remove a curtain, okay, and then the people will see the glory of the Lord on the throne, okay, and those who have believed on him will celebrate. Those who have not believed on him will run to the mountains and say, hide us from the wrath of God and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. Now, these things have to come to pass. Now, what happens is the sky, people standing on earth, the sky just rolls back and people can see the Lord and can see the throne of God and can see the Lord, and they will run away from his wrath, those who have been deceived that it is modern and all that, you know, all that rubbish that people are talking about. Okay, now after that, what happens immediately after the tribulation of those days? Now this is the sixth event that we are talking about. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Now all that is what has been spoken of elsewhere, but now I'm reading from Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29. Then it goes on to say in the consequent verses, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, okay, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now what happens when the sky recedes back like a cloth, and people can see the glory of God? They can see the glory of God. What happens after that? The fullness of the Gentiles has come in, okay? And now people can look up, and now the Son of Man, or Jesus Christ, starts descending from above and comes close to earth, okay? As it says here in Matthew chapter 24. And then he will send his angels to go and collect all the elect, and they will be lifted up to meet Christ in the air, okay? And then shall go and forever shall be with him. Now, that's when the dead in Christ will arise first, as 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, those who are dead in Christ will arise first. What happens there is that those who are dead, those who died and are in heaven, have not yet been reunited with their earthly bodies. The only person who has an earthly body is Christ, because Jesus is the one who, that's why the Bible calls him the first fruits from the dead, because he's the one who has the body that he had on earth. Okay, now those who are alive at the time, we who are alive at the time, I am sure I will be, because it's very shortly from, I mean, it's coming shortly, those who are alive will have their bodies changed, okay, from immortal to immortality, okay, as 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52 says. Now those who are dead, their spirits will descend with Christ, okay, and their bodies will be lifted up from the ground where they were buried, from the sea if they were sunk, from whatever. The Bible says the earth will give up all its dead, and their bodies will be resurrected, and they will be reunited with their bodies, so they will, we shall have a life that is the same as Christ after he had resurrected, okay, where in the millennium the kind of bodies that you have, I mean, the kind is what Christ was after he had resurrected from the dead, where he's, it's the same body he had, because you can see the wounds, okay, you can see the wounds, and actually he can even eat, because the Bible says in John chapter 20:21 that they made breakfast of fish, okay, and but he's not limited by time, he moves at the speed of thought. So if I stand here and I think about America, I am there immediately. I walk through walls and what, that is the sort of body that will have, what they call the resurrection body, and that is the body that we'll have in the millennium when the church rules with Christ, when we reign with Christ. How is that going to be? That's a subject for another day. Now the Lord comes back, comes down from when the earth has receded and the people have seen the glory of the Lord. Those who do not believe, the Bible says, will run into the mountains saying, hide us from the wrath. But they will not be able to hide from the wrath. I'll tell you about the six vials spoken of in the book of Revelation, starting from verse 15, I think. 16, starting from verse 16. Now, after the church has been taken out of the way, now the judgment of God is poured on earth to those who did not believe. Okay? Now, then, what happens at around about the same time? The salvation of the earthly Israel. Now, the Bible says that Israel of the earth, the earthly Israel, will be saved. Okay, there will be a dispensation for them. Now this is going to happen at, but they will have to stay on earth after they have believed for another 3.5 years. But there will be a great tribulation for them, because the Antichrist will be officially ruling on earth. Okay, in the first 3.5 years he will have been revealed, but he will not be revealed fully in his authority. Okay, he will be revealed to those who know, and you know that is the guy, but he will not fully be in authority, okay, because his authority lasts 3.5 years. Now Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10-12 says, I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they will look on me is in a capital, whom they have pierced, talking about Jesus, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning of Hadad Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo. Now, here is what happens. When the Jews see Christ descending, they will know that he was the Messiah all along and they had been deceived. And that's why the Bible says they will look on him who has been pierced and they will mourn. And then they will believe on Jesus Christ, okay? And then when they believe on Jesus Christ, they will have to stay here because the church will be raptured. They will have to stay here for 3.5 years. But the Bible clearly says that they will have special protection. That's why in the book of Daniel says that God will send the archangel Michael, whom he calls the prince of your people, meaning of the Jews. And he will come and protect the Jews in that period. Now that's the period which Jesus spoke about when he said that if you run from one city to the other, by the time you're through with all the cities, the Son of Man will have come. Because after the Jews, the Antichrist will not be in charge of Jerusalem or of Israel, okay? But they will fight it. Now after the 3.5 years all of them will assemble, the whole world, almost the nations of the world will assemble around Jerusalem for the final onslaught. Because remember, the Bible says that Christ will come and stand and put his feet on the Mount of Olives. Okay? Now, what the devil wants to do is to take Jerusalem and, if possible, stop Christ from doing it. We all know, of course, that is not going to happen. Now, the whole nations will surround Jerusalem. Okay? The Bible says, and the Bible talks that I'll bring all the nations for judgment around Jerusalem. Now, when the Jews have been surrounded in every way, at the end of the 3.5 years, when they have been totally surrounded, they have no place to run, they have nothing to do, they are staring defeat in the barrel, then the Lord will come, okay, in the clouds, and the Bible says he will bind the devil and put him in a bottomless pit. That is the beginning of the millennium, and then the Antichrist will go straight to hell, okay, to perdition. Now that is the beginning of this. Now the beginning of the reign, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now, of course, we're going to just discuss a bit later, because I'm still kind of giving you an overview so that you understand the events as they are prophesied in the Bible. Now, the salvation of Revelation 17:1-4. I think I'll stop. Well, this is the second last I'll read today. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, "Do not harm the earth or the sea till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes, of all the children of Israel were sealed. Now, this is what happens. When the church has gone, the wrath of God is about to start on earth. But this angel says, "Do not harm the people on earth until I have sealed those who are the people of God." And then he goes and seals the Jews at the time who will have believed. That is in Revelation 7. 144,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel. It goes on to mention the tribes of the tribe of this, 12,000 of tribe of that. You know that scripture. I believe you do. So now, then they will have a special seed of God for those final years. And they will have the protection, the special dispensation of protection from the archangel Michael, who will guard them from the wiles of the devil, because the devil will want to destroy them, okay? But he will not be able to. Now, if you read Revelation chapter 12, you'll see what that means, the protection that Israel will come under. And then, I'll read again Romans chapter 11, verse 11-13. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But though through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are by my flesh and save them. For if their being cast away is reconciling of the world that is of us, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? So that means that when the Jews accept Christ, it will be time for life from the dead, which is the rapture. Now, I will start from there. But in a nutshell, here is what we've spoken about of the events that are going to happen. First of all, the great falling away, the great apostasy, the falling away of the church. Then the man of sin is revealed. Then the tribulation, that is the 7-year agreement signed, starts. Then the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Then the day of the Lord, which we've spoken about so many scriptures. Then the appearance of the Lord in the skies. Okay, then the salvation of earthly Israel. We'll take it up from there next time.
That was The Watchman, with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.